echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 44, Connected Diagnostics Reshaping Healthcare Delivery. Today, we'll discuss how Q Health is breaking down barriers to improve access for accurate at-home COVID-19 testing and how they are developing technologies in the cloud to empower people to live their healthiest lives. Hello, everyone. My name is Chris Hood. I'm a digital strategist at Google Cloud, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in and listening. As part of our Cloud Confessions series for healthcare, I am looking forward to this conversation with one of Google's most exciting healthcare partners, Q Health. So let's welcome to the show Ayub Khattak, CEO, and fellow co-founder Clint Seaver, Chief Product Officer of Q Health. Hello, both of you. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you for having us on the show. Very excited to talk with you. Very excited about the partnership with Google. Looking forward to the conversation.
Same. Thanks, Chris.
Let's start with you. Why don't you share a little bit about your background, a little bit about Q, and one of the things that we like to do on this show is the last thing you've downloaded. So you can go in any order there, but a little bit about yourself and last thing you've downloaded.
So me and Clint, we started Q about a decade ago. If you recall, the early scenes of swine flu were like similar to what we saw with COVID early on, which is cruise ships being quarantined, airports changing their policies and screening people, and people piling in emergency rooms. And it was quite a chaotic set of scenes and very, very similar to what we saw with COVID. And at that time, it just became quite obvious that the ability for people to get important health information, such as do I have this new flu virus or not, it was unnecessarily difficult and gated by many layers of administrative issues and having to go places. And we thought there's got to be a better way of being able to get this information, connecting it to doctors, and then completing the treatment loop. So that was the original concept. And we think that it's the right concept for not only COVID and flu, but also generally speaking, acute infectious diseases and long-term also chronic disease management. We just think it should be easy to get those critical diagnostic information and connect that to a physician and then be able to action on it. And so that's where it came from. And I think it grew for me and Clint off the background of my personal background. I have a degree in math. I was doing biochemistry research at UCLA before we started. Really, it was about observing the problem and seeing that there was no present solution and trying to build something that could handle that problem and that class of problems generally. Last thing I downloaded was the updated Q Health app. That's true. It's in a period of a lot of development and very excited to keep releasing new versions and add functionality like we just did with proctoring and integrated shop and integrated virtual doctor interpretation, et cetera.
There's something special when you can say, honestly, that you're downloading your own product on a regular basis to check for updates. That's great. Clint?
Sure. The background that you provided was great. I have a degree in marketing, but I've always been highly motivated by engineering problems and interested in them. And over time, that sort of transformed into a pretty broad role for me at the company. I've overseen product development. I've overseen hardware engineering, supply chain development, facilities development. I've helped scale up manufacturing of our Q test cartridges, our instruments, our cartridge readers, our accessories. During the pandemic, I led the effort to grow the manufacturing capacity to the millions of cartridge scale per month. And that was in support of that national pandemic response effort. The last thing I downloaded was one of my CDC compliant Q negative COVID test results for admission into an event.
You know, you both touched on the complexity of finding the right information and the time that we need that information. And we probably all experienced this on some level over the course of the last year. But I'm curious, in this process of developing Q and leveraging the technologies that are out there, like with Google Cloud, how has some of those technologies influenced the product making decision or processes that you've gone through?
Great question. I mean, look, any technology company today is building on the shoulder of giants, right? And obviously, Google has transformed our expectations of how quickly we get information. And so actually, that's a quite a good linkage to Q in the sense that we're all about allowing you to get that information from your body as quickly as possible so that you can be equipped and empowered with that information. I think that looking at any technological development, you're going to be looking at the history of everything that came before it and how it builds on it. But I think there's just kind of like a special connection there with this idea of being able to get access to information that is empowering. I was really attracted to Google Cloud because I thought that it was at the forefront of the container technology, Kubernetes, and I really liked the user interface, the command line tools that were available. The tooling and the positioning on the technology was at the forefront, or has been at the forefront, and that was a lot of what attracted Q as an organization to go with Google Cloud really early on, several years ago.
And Clint, from a product perspective, are you typically coming up with ideas, or your team comes up with ideas on improvements, or are you looking at the technology and saying, oh, this is great technology, what can we do with it?
I think that's a two-pronged answer. One is that we're, you know, on the back of our direct-to-consumer launch that we did earlier this month, we are right in the mix of making improvements and improving the services as fast as we can, and fixing bugs where we find them, and bringing online these like incredible new features like proctor testing for travel and access 24/7 to virtual care doctors and being able to buy Q products through the app and then have them delivered the same day. This is a very interdisciplinary set of features that we're working on. And so bringing those together in this package, we're really excited about that. And we've been working to roll that out and improve it, certainly. But when we think about what technologies we're using to build additional new products, I guess that to think about that, we have to think about the current core technology we built into the cartridge and being able to get lab quality test results delivered to your mobile device in 20 minutes. You can take that test anywhere. It's super easy to use. But we're also incredibly excited about our technology kind of defining the future of testing. So we lead with this incredibly powerful diagnostic product and the ability to connect that test result to a doctor. And that virtual care workflow that we have built into the app is only going to be enhanced over time because we're adding new tests to the platform. So like as we think about new technologies, adding new technologies to the platform, one of the ways we think about that is new sample types and new test types, things like influenza and RSV and chlamydia and gonorrhea. So that sexual health testing using a urine sample, fertility and pregnancy using a urine sample, other cardiometabolic tests that use blood samples. So these are really exciting technologies which build on the basic technology platform we have today, but we're going to continue to enhance that offering through software and services as we build that platform out.
Yeah, I love that vision. If you look at the state of testing, you mentioned it, whether it's food allergies or other types of infectious diseases that we're faced with on a daily basis, the current process is go to my local pharmacy, buy a kit, bring it home, and potentially even mail it and wait for a couple of weeks before I get that result back. And to think that the technology that you're producing can rapidly respond to my own particular needs in that particular moment of time is really inspiring. And you're thinking about this also, I'm assuming, from an at-home market, right?
To answer your other question in a slightly different way, I would definitely say the problem has dictated the solution rather than we start off with the technology and we look for a problem to solve. Because if you look at the origin story with flu and what we were observing, we really were agnostic with regards to the technology. We didn't come from an academic lab and then we're looking for a place to apply the technology we had developed in it. Instead, we looked at a problem that was playing out in society and said, there's got to be a better way. And we set about bringing together and creating the right technologies that would solve the problem. With what we're trying to build and what we see, we just think that things like COVID and swine flu have just shed a light on a very basic problem of healthcare information access. Like, it shouldn't be hard. These type of tests are part of the standard of care. This is what people are supposed to do if they're wondering. And yet it takes so much time to get that information. And usually, especially for infectious diseases, you're getting pushed outside of your treatment window. So we've all probably at this point heard of two antivirals, one from Merck and one from Pfizer, that are intended to be coming out probably by the end of this year, if not beginning of next. And being able to go from feeling symptoms to getting a diagnostic test to be able to connect that to a doctor and then to get the treatment delivered to you in a very short amount of time, That seems like the ideal pathway for which all infectious diseases basically should be handled. There's this opportunity now, because of what happened with COVID, to be able to take that concept and apply it immediately, and then hopefully syndicate to a lot of other use cases in a similar efficient fashion. And if you think about it, you step back and you're like, that makes all the sense in the world, especially if you think, why should somebody with COVID go and pick up a prescription from a retail pharmacy? That seems insane, because you're going to, especially as these variants have gotten more and more infectious and more viable in the air, going to a retail pharmacy while you're sick with a communicable infectious disease seems like a bad idea. That should be delivered to you. It should be delivered to you in a very timely way.
Yeah, on this show, one of the things we talk about often is just a customer experience, a customer journey. The concept of walking into a store, making your purchase, that whole step-by-step that we go through on a daily basis with pretty much everything we do in our lives. And to then break that down in the way you have from a medical perspective, my expectation is that I should be able to take a test and get the results instantly. My expectation is that if I need some sort of medicine to cure whatever I have, that the device that I'm on in my hand getting the testing results would also send that prescription to the doctor and fulfill it for me. That's a very basic concept, I think, for a lot of businesses. But as you talked about, it's amazing how COVID-19 has really made us more aware of those types of expectations that we all have. And you've just outlined that perfectly.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like quite intuitive that that's the right pathway. It's just we haven't had the confluence of technologies and like stitching together all these pieces between last mile delivery, between virtual care and diagnostics. They just haven't been stitched together in the right way, in part because the environment wasn't right. I mean, clearly, globally, the regulatory environment has changed with respect to testing for infectious diseases at home. Q has our authorizations here in the US for home and professional use, in Canada for home and professional use. We have Europe for professional and India for professional. And so you see that globally, the attitude towards being able to access this information from a regulator perspective has really changed. And we hope and think that the perspective will have changed permanently, not just for COVID, but for a range of things, because it feels like people understand now it's good. The public health benefit and the benefit to the individual is very high for people being able to access information more easily. That's the trend that makes us very hopeful for the future in terms of the environment supporting what we want to enable more broadly.
Yeah. And speaking of global, we've also learned that through this pandemic, the accessibility to testing and providing healthcare is definitely different. And I think you have some really strong perspectives on how to make healthcare a little bit more equal, especially with your testing and devices that you're producing. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, the reality around like telemedicine, for example, is just a general marker of what's happening and the way people are changing their consumption habit of healthcare. You know, it went from very little usage before the pandemic to having become the only way at certain periods in here in the US to access primary care, because basically all primary care in the US shut down for a period of time when we were all trying to figure out what was going on with this virus initially. So, and it settled out to some very significant portion of primary care moving to telemed. And so what we see is that COVID really created this tectonic shift in the way people consume healthcare. And we don't think that it's going backwards to the traditional model, especially as we kind of have this protracted relationship with COVID at this point as a society that brings into question a lot of the way that we did previously things like gather together in a retail pharmacy with illness or go to the physician and stay in a waiting room full of other sick people. Now we're all acutely aware of the dangers of being around each other while we're sick. And it's kind of obvious now, but it was less obvious. And a lot of times people celebrated when people would go to work ill and they would say, oh man, that person is really getting after it. But now we know I think more obviously, that was always not a good idea. And it's even worse of an idea when you have, you know, infectious diseases spreading very easily.
Yeah. And you can see how COVID sort of reshaped the healthcare system. You've touched on this, where it really underscored how challenging it is for anybody to get diagnostic test results and access to healthcare professionals across the board. And certainly it accelerated that transition to virtual care. I agree, it's not going back. And on the back of all that, we talk about accessibility. I wanted to shed a little bit of light on some of the work we've done with the public sector we're really proud of over the past year. So we have Q distributed across the country to many communities in need of testing. So certainly testing was hard for everyone to access, but certainly underserved communities in particular. So in partnership with the Department of Health and Human Services, we work with state level, local level governments. And right now, Q is in 20 states. We're being used in nursing homes. We're being used in over 2,000 schools. We're in Native American communities and underserved communities, even in correctional facilities. So that access to testing, we really feel very proud of that work in helping to enable, especially those in underserved communities, to access that testing. But even more broadly than that, certainly in healthcare settings, we have the Mayo Clinic, we're in use there. And then of course, in thousands of homes. So that theme of accessibility, we feel very happy to have helped participate in making things more accessible like testing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. If we start to reflect though on this, let's hear about your journey. Clint, is there anything that you've learned over the last 18 months? Anything that you're proud of? Anything that you would have changed?
We certainly have continued to be very busy. So I haven't had a whole lot of time to reflect on my experience over the past 12 to 18 months. But I would say broadly, zooming out of specifically with diagnostics, but broadly, the importance of aligning the ecosystem when undertaking really large multidisciplinary projects is really hard to understate. That includes people inside of your organization, outside of your organization, even to the levels of local government. You know, everybody needs to understand the goal. They need to understand what role they play in the project, what role they play in project success, and how they could potentially contribute to the project failure. But if everybody's aligned, then that friction of execution is minimized and the team can really work on the big problems more efficiently. That's something that floats to the top for me in terms of takeaways from my experience.
And I would add to that, that the team really rose to the challenge and it really helped to have a good mission that we could all get behind to really unite us as we really worked hard to go from very little scale to the scale that we're at today. It was a titanic effort, and having the team very well aligned around the mission was critical for being able to execute.
What is your mission?
It's to empower people to live their healthiest lives by providing them with the technology and products to enable that, to get information more easily, to action on that information within the health domain.
And then from the scaling perspective, it triggers something really interesting. Were you expecting to grow as rapidly as you have?
I think we always understood that to be successful, we needed to build a product that scaled. And in particular, it's not just the design of the physical product, but how to make it. And so we, from the beginning, embraced this strategy of concurrent engineering, where we developed the product, but we also developed the manufacturing in lockstep with that. And that prevented a lot of downstream problems where, okay, you have this great product, but then you can't really make it, or you're going to have to make design changes in order to make it. And so we really benefited from, I think, some foresight there of actually developing the manufacturing in conjunction with technology. And if it wasn't going to be able to be easily mass manufactured, then we wouldn't use that material or that design as part of a product. So that was some good thinking, which I think meant that we anticipated that we would grow and we need to scale efficiently and be able to keep product quality high as we scaled. That's always a challenge that you see. And so we invested heavily in automation and we invested heavily in concurrent engineering. And we think that those were bets that paid off.
Have you been faced with any supply chain problems?
Certainly, we have faced significant challenges over the past 12 months. That's from raw materials to staffing, shortages in the supply chain. But as you mentioned, early on in the company life, not only did we invest heavily in concurrent engineering, we also invested heavily in vertical integration. And that paid off heavily when we tried to scale up during the pandemic. For example, we make all of our own test chemistries and reagents and a lot of our raw materials in-house. Most companies don't do that. And so that made us less reliant on vendors who would have provided those materials and components. It meant at that time, we didn't have shortages that many other companies did. We were also very aggressive in finding substitute materials, doing the design in order to stay ahead of any supply chain issues. And certainly we even continue to do this now. There's some supply chains have opened up and some supply chains continue to contract and present challenges. So we're still sort of threading the needle on that, but we've been managed to stay ahead of it.
I want to ask something that might be a little off topic, but as I'm hearing you talk about concurrent engineering and just the general process by which you are managing internally your development, do you have any lessons or insights as to how your teams are actually structured to be able to consistently stay at pace with your needs and demands?
I think the principal lesson learned is that the better the team and the people that you can work with, the better the company is going to grow and scale and deliver and execute. And that seems obvious always, but it's incredibly obvious when you're scaling and every person you hire, they're going to have elevated responsibilities very quickly. And so it's important to get the best people you possibly can that can help with org building. And that's been a very important lesson that we've learned.
Let's look at the future. Where do you see your company or your products or healthcare in general going in the next 5 years?
So we think that this concept of leading with the diagnostics or leading with the diagnostics at home with the virtual care is going to be how much of the common reasons why you'd go to a doctor, where they migrate to. It's going to go into this new pathway that we're setting up, which is diagnostics, integration with virtual care, and some last mile delivery infrastructure integration that allows for things to be much more timely, including getting a diagnostic product or including getting the medication if it's appropriate. So we think that a lot of acute infectious disease type of problems will get mapped to that much more simplified, convenient, accessible pathway. And for chronic diseases, what we think is going to happen is really that you're going to get a lot more efficient with that as well through the use of digital technologies that may or may not include some laboratory type diagnostics, but also certainly include coaching and integration with physicians. We think that a lot of the healthcare, the traditional reasons why you go to the healthcare system, will have really effective analogs in the home that will actually end up being better for outcomes because adherence is easier when you have something that's more convenient. And so we think that these new pathways that we're working on for acute and chronic disease management will really help make it much more efficient and convenient to access the healthcare system.
All I can think of here is more Star Trek, where we have smart homes and I can tell my thermostat to turn on, or I can open and lock my front door. Just imagine if there was a little portal that I could walk up to, finger prick or something, and it gives me my entire health history. And that's baked right directly into my house. I guess that's the age that we're in right now, right?
I think it's accelerating towards a futuristic version. And if anything, the silver lining of COVID is that it's accelerated healthcare technology substantially. I mean, obviously we see that with the vaccines, with the mRNA technology, but we think with what we've built with lab quality diagnostics at home that's integrated into the virtual ecosystem, I think that's an important shift as well. And I do think that healthcare technology generally is accelerating, and it's exciting to see the integration with the digital world, because if you look across industries, healthcare hasn't been that fast to enter the digital age. It's been very slow. If you look at transportation or e-commerce, the acceleration of technology has been so quick and has been life-changing for everybody, but it hasn't really touched the healthcare system until now.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of that acceleration across even advanced industries. They're even accelerating in their technology use directly as a result of the pandemic. So completely agree. One final question for both of you, since we're talking about technology, is there a particular technology that you are interested in, curious about, that you see as something exciting for the future?
Obviously, our own technology as we redefine the future of testing and bring the healthcare system to you is obviously very exciting as we add more products to the platform. I think another technology that's outside of Q that's exciting is continuous glucose monitoring, because that's an interesting tool for people who not only manage diabetes on a chronic basis or an ongoing basis, but are starting to grow into a more of a proactive approach where people are coming to that technology and trying to make better decisions earlier about their health.
Yeah, I'd say continuous monitoring of any type of bioanalytes is very interesting. I also think sequencing, you know, it's been around for a while, but the capabilities of what you can do, I think, are just barely being tapped. And I think there's a lot of opportunity, especially in the infectious disease side, for things like antibiotic resistance or antiviral resistance or vaccine resistance, or even being able to test for, you know, 40 different viruses at once. It's a lot easier with sequencing. So I think there's a lot of opportunities there that we'll begin to see more of as time progresses.
I said one more question, but I've got one more. When you talk about all of these continuous testing and monitoring and just the massive amounts of data that is out there that is being analyzed on a regular basis, what elements of this are we looking at machine learning and AI being introduced to help support some of that continuous monitoring or even some of the activities that you're working on?
Yeah, absolutely crucial to have AI and ML integrated into these things. I mean, I think if you look at like pandemic forecasting, for example, early on in the pandemic, there was just some citizen scientists that were running pandemic forecasting, and they just at some point got burned out. And then there was no pandemic modeling for the future or very little. And so what you see in contrast to that in like weather forecasting is there's such a huge industry and there are so many good models out there and they're really advanced. And, you know, one of the things that we're working on and with Google Cloud is this idea that if you can bring in more sequencing information, if you can connect it to other important data layers, and then you can make more meaning out of the information to predict what's going to happen in the future, that would be super valuable insight and good use of AI, especially when you look at something like DeepMind and what they're doing with 3D protein modeling using AI, like being able to go from like a sequence to an actual modeled protein in 3D to seeing how that could be affected by different antibodies or different antivirals, because you have the 3D shape now that's really authentic or high fidelity to reality. There's just an opportunity there to really connect all the dots, to go all the way from somebody has COVID to having their sequence, to connecting it to other mobility information, to being able to model out the 3D structure of it, and then be able to model out the various interactions with antivirals and antibodies. That's a great opportunity that would really connect all the various dots, and I think provide a lot of value to being able to understand how things will progress as an example of these integrations.
Well, thank you both. I really appreciate the time and all of the work that you're doing. Absolutely incredible conversation. Once again, thank you for joining us and sharing your insights.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here with you and great to be working with Google.
And thanks to all of you who are listening. If you have questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another digital transformation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.